All right. 4 o'clock. Thanks for coming. So my name is Tom. I'm a bit of an alien here because I'm one of the guys from the Cloud Native community. So usually we operate with APIs and not with hardware. So this is going to be interesting. Oh, this is maybe. We need that for the recording, right? Okay. I'm about to tell you about something about Kubernetes on RISC-V. So I'm a maintainer of K0S, which is a CNCF-hosted Kubernetes distribution. I'm working at Mirantis at the Open Source Program Office, and I'm one of the maintainers. And we have K0S and its sibling project Cosmotron. K0S is, does anybody know what that is, actually? No one? Does anybody know what K3S is? Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's a Kubernetes distribution. So, like you have the Linux kernel and, like, your distributions. It's rather like this, right? I'm not going to tell you anything that you already know, because, like, I'm coming from the complete other front. I have been here in this room for the whole day, and I was listening to the stuff that you were presenting, and I was thinking, wow, I didn't have a clue about this. So this is not so. So I'm coming from the other angle, and but I can tell you what I will do today. So as a FOSS maintainer of a Kubernetes-related project, I will just try to share my experiences and what it took us to make K0S workable on RISC-V. And what does Kubernetes on RISC-V even mean for me, or for you maybe? Maybe it's clear to you, maybe not. Let's see. And if you have, like, any questions or comments, just, like, shoot and ask directly, and don't wait until the end, please. And so what does that mean for the K0S project? And the most important part of all of this is, like, how to build multi-architecture OCI images. So because that is how Kubernetes distributes its stuff. And so we will be talking about a bit how to do that, right? And in the end, I will also have a demo if the demo gods are with me. I have a setup there with a RISC-V board, which is battery powered. So let's see if the Wi-Fi lets. Thank you. Let's see if the Wi-Fi has good connectivity. Otherwise, I will need to switch back to the serial cable. Let's see. Okay. So why did I even try to do it, right? So I was not nerd sniped on this. I promise, you know. Yeah. So I have to come up with some considerations. Why do I want to do this? Obviously, RISC-V is the future, but for me, this is not enough to justify work on this, so I have to come up with some other, like, considerations. In this case, porting stuff makes the project better. It usually also, like, uncovers bugs and everything, and it makes the whole software a bit better and rounder and everything. And also, of course, it's the hot stuff, and it's interesting to do that, right? And funnily enough, I learned today RISC has a 32-bit mode. I'm not talking about this. We do support 32-bit architectures, and this is not that easy. For example, ARMv7, it's especially, like, in the higher level of the stack, there is always, like, problems if you're trying to build something for ARMv7. All right. But what does it even mean, Kubernetes on RISC-V? So, for once, you need to know, like, Kubernetes is basically a bit analogous to the Linux kernel. If you're saying you're running Linux, you're not saying anything. Like, it's the Linux kernel, but you all know there has to be a distribution that you will be using. You have to have the user land in place and all that stuff. And it's comparable to that in the Kubernetes landscape as well. So Kubernetes at the core, like the cloud kernel, if you want to call it like this, and then you need basically on top of that a whole shitload of other software that you will be running on that. And from that point of view, it is like if you're running Kubernetes on RISC-V, it's like an app or it's like an empty app store, you know, an OS with an empty app store. You don't, you can run the OS, yes, but you can't do anything with it. And where this is a bit different from like where the analogy no longer holds with all those distros. So if you're deploying Kubernetes, you're just having that foundation, and there is no like distribution that packages everything else for you. Like if you're installing Fedora or Arch or whatever, you have a whole shitload of software repositories where you can just grab your software and run on it. So if you like, for example, go and convince a distribution to support RISC-V, they will have a coherent place where they can work on software and where they can make it, where they can define processes, build standards, and all those kinds of things. They can, for example, also like set up a test farm to like build and test the software on the native architectures. And all of that is not true for Kubernetes. So Kubernetes, like the software that you run on that is containerized, of course, so you have all those OCI images. And along with those OCI images, you also have like Helm charts, configuration files, all your Kubernetes resource manifests, right? So for example, the OCI images are, so to say, the binary tarballs, which contain all your binaries, and the resource manifests and the Helm charts are basically installation scripts, if you want to follow that analogy. And that leads to the fact that you have all of your software stack, which is like cluttered around like how many different organizations and upstream projects and whatnot, and they all have to find their own solution how to support RISC-V. And so let's have a look at Kubernetes, the core itself. It currently doesn't officially support RISC-V, so you can't find pre-built binaries for RISC-V or any test coverage or anything of that. It's just that you're on your own. There has been like community requests of supporting that, but for the aforementioned reasons, they're usually not willing to put that into official upstream for the lack of manpower, for the lack of testing infrastructure and all of those kinds of things. There's currently not enough like downstream demand from folks to support that, and that is also like why most of the bigger companies, which are usually like playing in that cloud native area and supporting a lot of the open source work that's happening there, they are not having this on their radar and they are not putting money into this, and that's hence it's not very much moving there, right? That said, like if you grab the sources and go for it, it mostly works, right? But then you're basically like Linux from scratch, you're Kubernetes from scratch, right? So you're doing all the stuff yourself. For K0S, which is a Kubernetes distribution, so we are packaging like core Kubernetes plus a few add-ons and make it easy to install and run, more or less, hopefully. If not, like shout at me. We're currently at like a quote-unquote tier 3 level for RISC-V. So we are officially supporting it, but we're not doing anything like testing or preparing binaries for this. And all of our stock OCI images, most of our stock OCI images support RISC-V. There is like a few things missing, but that will be just a matter of time until we fix that as well. And what you can actually do with K0S, you can like check out the sources from GitHub and run make on a RISC-V board or on a RISC-V machine, and then you get a RISC-V binary for K0S that you can directly run. Some features are not supported, which is mostly because of the OCI images haven't been converted yet. For example, the Calico, which is one of the CNIs, the container networking implementations, is not supported. So we in K0S, we have two of them. So you can only use Kubebrewter at the moment. That said, like a few days ago, I just tried to make that happen for Calico as well. And yeah, it worked in my tests, so I have to just upstream that to K0S itself, and then we will have that fixed as well. NLRB is another feature of K0S, which requires Envoy, and Envoy is built on Bazel, and I'm not sure. Does anybody know if the Bazel build system works on RISC-V?
It doesn't.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, that is basically the problem with that. Okay, so we still have, we have K0S now, but you don't have anything of these. And if you're usually running a Kubernetes cluster or multiple Kubernetes clusters, you will all want to have those things. And there is no, and then you're basically in the land of Kubernetes from scratch. You have to find all of your projects, check how you can run them on RISC-V, and your millage may vary. So support is growing, especially because of all of the main distributions, which are usually being used in Docker files to build stuff. They're all supporting RISC-V right now. So that makes things a lot easier for upstream, for downstream projects to basically adopt RISC-V. But there's of course more to it. So the problem is that you don't have the hardware available. So of course there is hardware, right? So we have seen a lot of hardware. I mean, there is hardware over there. But the thing is, for those projects, it has to be like easily accessible, right? So the problem is you can't just click on GitHub or GitLab, what have you, and select RISC-V as an architecture. That is not a thing. You can't go to a cloud provider and get RISC-V. I do know that Scaleway has that offering with the RISC-V on-demand machines. I tried to get some for the demo for today. They are out of stock. So, and that is what I'm talking about. And then we're going back again to the initial fact that for distributions, it's easy. They are building tens of thousands of packages. They have their build farms. They can manage it, right? It doesn't work for the random cloud native project on the internet. They do need to rely on public services which make that available for them. So, and I mean, for K0S itself, I also have the problem that GitHub Actions runners on RISC-V are more or less, I mean, the last time I checked, it was not that easy to run them on real hardware because they're based on .NET. And does anybody know how good .NET now works on RISC-V? Kinda, right? Do they have official builds? Okay. Say again? A build? Okay, there are .NET builds, but community. Okay. Right. So right, the community is basically on it, but still no upstream support, right? And that is a basic problem, because like all of those CI setups that those projects are running, including K0S, of course, they're heavily based on those things. And if they can't run natively, then you have a problem. And it is very hard to convince a project for the single architecture to switch the whole CI system, or to like introduce another CI system just to support that architecture. So that is also like a very, very important requirement to make the adoption better. That said, what we can, of course, do is emulation and cross-compiling, which you probably are all aware of. So with BinFund MISC and QEMU, you can just run your Docker builds just like you do for the other architectures, and then you cross your fingers, wait 6 hours or so, and then maybe you have a successful build. So this works, but it is very slow, and usually it's not what you usually want to do. You just want to build on the native architecture. That's usually what we strive for. But you know, things are as they are, so we can't do it like this. So the other thing is cross-compiling, of course. So it depends on what the language you're using. Like the cloud native ecosystem has its edge on Go, so many of the projects are in Go, which makes things a lot easier, because Go is a cross compiler from the beginning. So you can usually just say on your native architecture that you want to build for RISC-V, and then it will produce RISC-V binaries, just like, for example, LLVM can do the same with Clang and so on, which is not as easy with GCC because it's not a cross compiler from the beginning, so you always have to install a lot of like cross tool chains and stuff like this, which makes things rather complicated. And I'm not really an expert in this, but I think most of you will agree if I say it is not that easy, right? Especially for your random project on the internet. And yeah, of course, you can also like mix and match that. This is what we are doing for our KZUS images. We use like both approaches where applicable, because we do have a certain stuff which is built on C, and we need a C compiler there. And those are usually run via emulation, because like setting up a cross-compiler toolchain is just too complicated in comparison to, for example, for Go. Right. And Kubernetes itself, like, it's as I said, it doesn't support RISC-V out of the box, but you can just grab the sources. You need to patch the build system, which is a bit ugly because they are hard coding the architectures they're supporting there. So the build, the patch is rather trivial, but you still need to patch the source tree, and then you can just compile it. So there is no problem in that. But you know, the delivery boy is still not satisfied with this. And oops, there you go. And that brings us to the most important part of this. Of bringing RISC-V or bringing Kubernetes to RISC-V or RISC-V to Kubernetes or both together, you have to have a look at how Kubernetes packages software. So how many of you do have a good idea about multi-arch OCI images, what that is? Not so many. Okay, an OCI image is basically a file system snapshot plus a layered file system snapshot that you can download from the internet. And then you extract that and run that containerized. And multi-arch OCI images are basically an enveloped version with different images. So you can basically look up in the envelope which image to choose. So you have basically multiple architectures in one envelope. And when you're downloading that image, you can select the right architecture for your target. And that's how you usually want to build the OCI images. The thing is, why do you want to use it like that? Because otherwise, you would have to publish a new image under a new name. So you have usually OCI registries where images have names and versions. And for example, if you want to have a cluster which runs x86, ARM64, and RISC-V together in one cluster, you don't want to configure all your stuff differently for each architecture. So you just want to say, okay, well, I will install Nginx. So, and let the system figure out what Nginx actually needs to be pulled, like the RISC-V one or the ARM64 one, and so on and so forth. So that is the way to go. Then we can like look at how to actually build OCI images. You can, there is different techniques, like you can just use plain Docker build and Putman build and build all those images separately and then package them together via a manifest. There is also like commands for this. Then you can like do low-level plumbing with CLI tools, with Builder and stuff like this. So there is a lot of ways to do it. We are doing it with Docker BuildX and Putman BuildX, which is probably the for KZUS the most easy part. If you want to know more about this, just ask me. Just connect. I'm happy to talk about that. So that is usually the way you do it with Docker BuildX. You just say you run the same Docker file for multiple architectures, and the result will be that you have like the same image being built for those architectures. And this automatically includes things like emulation with QEMU and BenFam MISC. And this is usually an easy way to get started with RISC-V. You can do cross-compilation without emulation in the same Docker file. So there is, for example, the trick that you can say dash dash platform equals build platform. That means that you're, even if you're targeting RISC-V, you're building on the host, on the build machine, like you on x86-64, and that that way you can like just do the usual cross compiler natively without BinFEMT MISC, and that's usually a kind of easy way, to cross compile Go. And for example, if you use, for example, a C compiler, you wouldn't specify platform dash equals build platform, and then automatically you would get an emulated build with QEMU. Another problem is, what if my upstream build image that I'm using for building doesn't support RISC-V because of reasons? Then you basically need to like have a a switch case in your Docker file to select the right one. This is the trick. This is a trick that we're using in KZOS to do that for the distroless image. So you can basically hard code your select statement. So that you basically select the image via the target argument, which is a bit ugly because you need to list all the supported platforms in advance, even if the base image would support them. But that's currently the only way to make it work without external tooling, like having different Docker files and writing scripts, make files, whatever, around that. Okay. Well, I have my OCI images. What I'm doing with this, I want to test them. I need performant hardware for that. Then we have the upstream kernel support. My experience with RISC-V is usually that, for example, for that TH1520 box I have over there, there is usually weird kernel source trees out there, which are not very much aligned with upstream. And then like things like CNI, which is the networking stack, or CSI, which is the storage stack in the cloud native world, come along and want to require whatnot kind of kernel features that you need to enable. And usually then you're in a bad trouble and trying to fix your kernel builds and try to compile the right modules, and then you realize that it's not easy as you would just take an upstream kernel, which is much easier. And GitHub Actions I already mentioned. All right, so let's see if I have connectivity to my little system there. Oh yeah, it's working. So basically, this is the RISC-V board over there.